Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, the date was February 18th, 1546. It was a day of great sorrow for the Lutheran Church because Martin Luther had passed away. And now imagine you're the pastor preaching at Luther's funeral. What are you going to say? Here's Martin Luther, who literally has changed the world. Here's Martin Luther on October 31st, 1517, posted his 95 Theses speaking out against the selling of indulgences, these pieces of paper claiming to have forgiveness. Here's Martin Luther, who courageously stood before the emperor, the most powerful man in the world. And on the basis of scripture, he said, "Here I stand, I can do no other." Here's Martin Luther, who influenced various princes and rulers to also stand before the emperor and make their confession and refuse to back down from it. Also, what do you say to comfort the people who are grieving that they have lost a friend, their pastor, and someone that they looked up to? Also, what do you say when at this time the Catholic Church was gathering together to condemn the teachings of Luther and the emperor was gathering his forces to wage war against the Lutherans? What do you say? For one man, this was a reality. His name was Johann Bugenhagen, and he preached on these words from Scripture at Luther's funeral, Revelation chapter 14. And his focus really wasn't on Luther, it was on the gospel. He praised God that he used Luther to bring the gospel back to light. And what is said here doesn't just apply to Luther, it applies to us as well. When we need comfort, when we need guidance in life, when we need to be reminded of how we are saved, we need the gospel, because the gospel is everything. John wrote, "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel." Earlier in the book of Revelation, John has seen the devil and described him as being this huge, ferocious, powerful dragon waging war against God and his people. But the devil was not alone. He also had two great allies, the beast of the sea and the beast of the earth. The beast of the sea were various nations and rulers persecuting and attacking God's church from the outside. And the beast of the sea was attacking the church from the inside with false prophets and false teachings. It was a horrendous sight for John to see the church being so vehemently attacked, and it seemed like all of God's believers would be destroyed. But then the sight changes. John sees all of God's believers victorious, and he looks up and he sees an angel flying in the air, holding the gospel, which saves us and gives us the victory. And did you notice how he described the gospel? He called it the eternal gospel. The gospel is everything because it's eternal. Everything else in this world does not last. All the wealth and riches and possessions that we acquire, they don't last forever. Relationships that we have with people, they come and go. Churches that we worship in, maybe even the church that you grew up in, might not exist anymore. Our own lives do not endure forever. One day we are here and gone the next. Even this world itself will one day pass away. But the gospel is eternal. The same gospel promise that God declared to Adam and Eve thousands of years ago when they fell into sin is the same gospel promise that we have today. The gospel promise that we are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, by Scripture alone, and by Christ alone. This gospel promise has endured in the hearts of believers throughout all of time, and it brings us all comfort. Jesus promised that not even hell itself can overcome the gospel. And Satan has tried. He has vehemently attacked the gospel. He has tried his best to keep it hidden, and yet the gospel still endures. But why is the gospel eternal? It's because the gospel is Christ. Christ is the very Word of God. These are the scriptures that testify about Him. And since Christ is the very Word of God, the gospel itself, He is the one who gives power to the gospel to save people. He is the one who is sending the gospel out to others so that He may hear it. He is the one who is guarding and protecting the gospel so that it will endure forever. The gospel is everything because it's eternal. But even though the gospel is eternal, what good would that be if no one was there to hear it? The gospel is meant to be heard. And who are those who are to hear the gospel? John says, He had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. The gospel is everything because the gospel is for everyone. But back in Jesus' day, the Jewish people thought that the gospel was only meant for themselves and not for the Gentiles, because they were God's chosen people. Even though God said in the Old Testament that the word would be shared with the Gentiles one day. Back in Luther's day, the gospel was hidden. People were not allowed to have the Bibles in their own language so that they could read them. Instead, they were completely dependent on their pastors to teach them what God's word had to say. But unfortunately, many of them did not. They rather taught teachings that were made by men. Even today, we too can think that the gospel is only meant for certain people, or that the gospel will really only work on some people. But that's not true. Look at ourselves. We are from the nation of America, from the tribe of Wisconsin, from the language of English, and from the people of Viroqua and this area. Why has the gospel been shared with us? Is it because there was something so valuable about us that God had to give us the gospel? Was it because God knew that we would believe that He proclaimed the gospel to us? No. Luther said it well. God does not love us because we are valuable, but we are valuable because God loves us. Purely because of His grace, God loves you and me. Purely because of His grace, He finds us valuable in His sight. Purely because of His grace, He has shared the gospel with us. But it's not just us from this nation, from this language, and from this people that God wants to share the gospel with. God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And what a blessing it is that He uses us to declare the gospel to everyone. The gospel has power to work on all ages, in every language, among all people. And God is blessing the work that we do. His gospel is being shared throughout all the world. And people are being brought to faith, even people that we never thought the gospel would work on them and in their place. And may God continue to bless us and every Christian throughout the world as we proclaim the gospel to them, because the gospel is for everyone. But so far, we've only been talking about the gospel. What exactly is the gospel? What is the content, the message of the gospel? John says, he said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." The gospel is everything, because it's everything that we need to know about salvation. And when we look at this angel's proclamation, for the most part, we have no problem with what the angel has to say. We have no problem worshiping God and giving him glory. But remember the first two words of the angel's message: fear God. Why should we fear God? Well, we could fear God in the realm of the law. Jesus said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Nowadays, people like to view God as that kind, old, loving grandfather in the sky who certainly does not punish anyone. But God is a righteous judge. He demands perfection. He demands holiness and nothing short of it. And we are anything but that. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are born in sin and lost in condemnation. From the very moment that we are conceived and have life, we deserve God to put us to death because we are sinners. That's what Scripture teaches. And when you look at all the actual sins that we commit by thought, word, and deed, how much more do we deserve God's condemnation? The good that we want to do, we don't do it. And the evil we don't want to do, this we keep on doing. You know that in your life, that when you confess your sins, you can have every motivation to change your life, and yet what do? You fall back into that sin. Even if God gave us countless second chances to keep his commandments perfectly, we would fail each and every time. This is why we are to be afraid of God, because God, who created all things, can destroy our bodies and souls in hell. And that's how Luther viewed God for the first 30-some years of his life. When he was in a lightning storm and he feared that he might die, he prayed that if he was saved, he would become a monk. And yet he didn't pray to God. He prayed to a saint. He was terrified to approach God in prayer. As a monk, he went above and beyond what was required of him. He starved himself. He slept on the cold ground. He whipped himself. He spent hours in the confessional booth, reminding himself of every sin he had committed, and he confessed those sins, and yet he was still terrified that there might be one sin that he has not confessed that God would condemn him. His fear of God was so great that at one point he said, "Love God." I hated him. He hated God because of the demand of perfection that God made of him, and he couldn't do it. And maybe we have that fear in our own lives, that we're afraid to approach God in prayer because we think that he hates us. We may wonder if there is one sin that God will remember and condemn us for. We may try to appease God's wrath by doing all good things, and yet we always wonder, have I done enough? And maybe even possibly because of our fear of God, we may not love him, but almost hate him because he demands perfection. This is fearing God in the realm of the law. Fearing God in the realm of the gospel is completely different. Listen to this passage. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Obviously, if God kept a record of all of our sins, none of us could stand before him. If God kept a record of just one of our sins, we would still be condemned. But with God, there is forgiveness, and therefore, he is feared. Why would we fear God when he forgives us? Fearing God here means to hold God in high regard, to revere him, to respect and honor him. But maybe a better question is not, why would I fear God? But why would God forgive me? It's because God did keep a record of all of our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the whole world. But he didn't put that record upon us. Rather, that record of all of our sins was placed on Christ. He suffered and was punished for every sin, and he died to give us forgiveness, so that in return, Christ's record of perfect righteousness and holiness could be placed upon us. But if Christ were still dead, then we would still be in our sins and our faith would be pointless. But Christ is not dead. Christ is risen. His resurrection guarantees that he is God and that his life counts for everyone. His resurrection guarantees that we have been justified, declared not guilty for our sins. His resurrection guarantees that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And one day he will raise us from the dead. This is the content and the message of the gospel, that we are saved by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. And so the gospel is everything, because it's everything we need to know about salvation. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as we celebrate the Reformation on this day, remember, we don't worship Luther. We worship God and give him glory. We worship God and praise him that he used Luther to bring the truth of the gospel back to light. Because the gospel is everything. The gospel is eternal. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel is everything we need to know about salvation. All praise, glory, and honor be to our God and his gospel that he has given to us to save us. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 18 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.